This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Nelly. Our guest this week is Kerry Vollmer Sanders, president of Field to Market. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by the American Sugar Alliance. America's sweetest industry creates jobs and provides a sustainably produced food ingredient. Learn more at sugaralliance.org. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with Field to Market's Kerry Vollmer Sanders next. America's 11,000 sugar beet and sugarcane farmers count on a strong U.S. sugar policy to keep American consumers supplied with an essential ingredient. Better yet, it's designed to cost taxpayers nothing. These farmers support more than 151,000 jobs throughout the sugar supply chain in both urban and rural communities. They contribute over $23 billion to the economy each year and help keep it sweet in America. Learn how the Farm Bill supports sugar crop farmers and workers at sugaralliance.org. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. Agriculture dialogue in Washington is increasingly using words like sustainability and regenerative agriculture, but the definition depends largely on who's doing the talking. Kerry Vollmer Sanders says Field to Market started almost 20 years ago with a goal of developing collaborative solutions to the industry's most challenging questions.
It started out as a group of folks focused on agriculture trying to figure out what the heck does sustainability mean. So they brought this pretty diverse group together back in 2006 to think through what the definition of sustainability was and then how the heck do we measure it. So that's how we got started a long time ago, focused on the, you know, getting diverse opinions, having all five sectors in the ag value chain. And when I say five sectors, I mean farmers, civil society, we call them affiliates like government agencies, researchers, the agribusiness and brands and retailers, bringing them all together to think through hard, tough issues.
Who are your members and can anybody join?
That's a good question. We've got about 200 members. Again, it spans throughout the ag value chain. Probably agribusiness is our largest sector because of the fact that agribusiness not only serves the farmers, but they also serve brands and retailers. So we have an application process that our board reviews each member that applies. And the reason that it is more specific and not just allowing anyone to be a member is we want to make sure that our members are focused on supporting our vision and mission, and they're not just there to grow their network.
How do you survive and how do you measure success?
Most of our funding comes from our member organizations. Again, we've got about 200 members. We're a nonprofit, so we also apply for grants. We have some federal grants, some private grants, and we also have something called the Fieldprint Calculator, and that calculator helps measure sustainability, and so we have some licensing fees along with that. When we think about success, it really goes back to moving towards our vision of creating a system of support to enhance farmer livelihoods and build resilient ecosystems. So if we're making progress towards those two, that's success for us.
I recall years ago in Washington, the idea was sustainable and carbon capture, and the answer was $20 an acre for cover crops. It's not that simple, is it?
No. Boy, if it was, wouldn't that be easy, right? We've got to focus on innovation, support the freedom to innovate, because $20 is that's a nice gesture to get something started. But essentially, if you start down one path of, well, we'll just add cover crops, that changes the whole system for the farmer. And it's not just as simple as like planting a cover crop in the fall. It definitely changes what the crop needs that following year for fertilizer. How are you going to terminate that cover crop? What does it look like for weed suppression then in the spring? are you using the right cover crops so that you're not taking moisture away from the crop that you're going to essentially make your living off of in the next year. So it is a complex system, and we need to be aware of that. And that's why I mentioned the focus on innovation.
And I would suggest over the 19 years that you've been in existence, coming up on your 20-year anniversary, obviously agriculture has had the same cyclical situation with regard to return on investment. Some years have been productive, and there have been good returns, but lately the margins have been tight. And this move to regenerative agriculture doesn't mean immediate returns. In fact, you may have producers that experience a reduction in productivity while you're moving through these regenerative levels.
Oftentimes, what you'll see in the science is you'll see that there'll be a yield drag at the beginning. And then at year 5 or 6, the yield will come back up. But the farmer has lost money in those first 5 years. So then they're trying to make that back up later. In this economic climate, if we're not looking at free enterprise helping to bring change, if we're not looking to help margin throughout that whole value chain, it's not going to happen. If we want to have sustainable regenerative agriculture really take hold, we also have to make sure that it's profitable. And that's why the innovative finance solutions are so important.
It's not as simple as employ this and see a return immediately.
That's right. And often you hear people talk about like, oh, well, we just need to get rid of pesticides, or we just need to make sure that everything is no-till. Well, there are consequences to that, and some of them we know, some of them are unintended consequences, but I think that's one of the things that we need to have farmers at the table in those conversations, so that they can explain what that system looks like on their farm and the impact that that might have for their operation and the system or the geography that they're in.
What does your field print, and what do your members in this collaboration of working toward sustainability, what do they bring to the table of credible evidence of what regenerative agriculture really is?
Well, I think first and foremost, it's great that we have so much support for soil health. Soil is the foundation of agriculture, of our food system. And if we can agree on that we need to focus on the health of the soil, then I think we can start to agree on the principles. Agriculture is different in different areas of the country for so many different reasons. So if we can agree on those principles, we can kind of set the stage for regenerative agriculture to be supported broadly. When you think about the science, healthy soils means that we have less water runoff, more water infiltration. We have more carbon sequestration. We're also going to see, from that perspective, probably better air quality, because we're having higher productivity in those fields because the soil can grow more. The other thing that all of this provides is eventually, maybe not upfront, but eventually it will provide better livelihood for farmers. And when we have healthy rural communities, we do have a healthy America. And I think that's what we need to focus on is the principles and where we can agree so that we can make sure that we have a healthy rural America.
If consumers or Washington leadership wants farmers to use no-till and minimum till and cover crops, there are certain technologies that you need to be able to apply those practices. Taking away pesticides is not an answer.
When it comes to adding cover crops into a particular system, you have to be able to terminate that cover crop in a way that allows you to grow your cash crop profitably. There are a couple different ways to do that now. Again, technology might come up with something new in the future. When you start eliminating tools in the toolbox, you start taking away options and the way farmers can, their ability to add cover crops into this system. This is not a short-term, everything can be changed tomorrow. This is definitely a systems approach that takes years to implement, and we've got to have as many tools in the toolbox to make that happen, along with technical assistance and financial assistance, because they're not going to pay out in the very short term. And And this year has been one of the most difficult years for farmers in a very, very long time.
When we look at the definition of field to market, I note that you offer science-driven and outcome-based programs. How does the field print and how does the makeup of your membership arrive you at these conclusions?
So our membership is one of the things that sets us apart from maybe any other nonprofit out there. Because we have the broad membership across those five sectors, from farmers to brands and retail, we're bringing all the best minds to, or perspectives, to the conversation when thinking through what science is working, what isn't working, and putting together the metrics that will actually help measure those eight different areas within our platform. So thinking about soil, climate, water, air, land use, et cetera. It's because we've got everybody in the value chain together thinking through all of it. We're looking at all the science. We're using university models. We're using USDA models or government models. We've got researchers on advisory councils that will review what the members have put forward. We can't do a field print platform by being prescriptive. We can only have a field print platform that is focused on the outcomes. So we're focused on a plethora of data inputs so that anyone in the country could be able to use the platform. And it still has an area for them to put in their essentially field system. Now we've got 17 crops that the field print platform can help measure the environmental footprint, but those crops can be grown anywhere in the U.S.
What is that providing the global customer, the end user that comes to the U.S. that has a specific set of criteria that they're looking for in a raw product?
One of the beautiful things about our platform is it covers so many different crops across the U.S. and it is integrated into other tools. So think of Land O'Lakes or Nutrien. Our tool is integrated into their data platforms. So companies that come here to the U.S. and want to have scope 3 emissions quantified, they can use the platform and make that happen. When you think about water quality, or water quantity, quite frankly, that's one of the things that we need to make sure that we're taking a look at. And global companies support those efforts just like U.S.-based companies. But the platform can allow any company to look at the metrics, look at the output from a farm field, and over time share back with that company trends towards their goals. It all goes back to when we are bringing the ag value chain together, we want to help make that chain stronger. And we do that by bringing the two ends together, the farmers and the brands and retail. When they can talk with each other, they can help one another reach their goals. So the farmers can have more profit, have higher yields, and the brands and retail can then quantify how that food, fiber, fuel is produced and get that information back out to their consumers.
Are you already working with customers that have a criteria for what they want to purchase and helping to connect the dots between the end user and the producer?
We've got 64 different projects happening right now on 6.4 million acres. We know those acres, all of those farmers are entering that data into the platform so that the companies can then make sure that they're reviewing those trends and they can make claims and share that back out with consumers. We've got some really great projects with PepsiCo, Mondelez. If you look at the Triscuit box, that's coming from field print platform projects from farmers that are working with our platform with their ag retailer and Mondelez.
So very soon you're coming out with a new version 5 of the field print platform. Can you give hints of maybe what you'll have then that will be even better than what you have now?
this version 5 platform, it revises three different metrics: energy use, greenhouse gas emissions, and soil carbon metrics. So this version allows for the scope 3 emission reporting requirements that are in, I think, greenhouse gas protocol alignment. It improves some of the user interface with farmers, so it's easier to understand results. And quite frankly, also is easier to understand for the brands and retail. The data, the metrics are always publicly available, and we have documentation on all of the complex science methods. So that hasn't changed. But it also has strengthened the relationship with universities and USDA because of the revisions to those metrics.
Carrie, one of the challenges producers have, and you know this yourself, of the terabytes and terabytes of data that you're collecting, being able to manage that data and then also converting that data to what Washington needs for participation in particular programs. Can you help?
I sure hope so. That's one of the things that we're trying to work with USDA on, and so they can meet their needs of making it more simple for farmers. But we've got 6.4 million acres enrolled in our platform, and if those acres could have a printout to say, you know, this is all the information that you need for USDA signups, we would love to make that happen. We're excited about the progress that Chief Betancourt has made already, and the focus on putting farmers first and helping smooth that process out, making it more simple for farmers to get enrolled in programs. And we think we have a solution that can help with that as well.
Is there a correlation between what the Soil Conservation Service did after the Dust Bowl to where we are in agriculture today and what Field to Market is trying to accomplish for the next generation of agriculture?
We have been focused for the last 19 years to help improve farmer livelihoods and resilient ecosystems in the same vein, in the same way that NRCS and the conservation districts want to also help farmer livelihoods and build resilient ecosystems. There's a lot of different paths forward. Technical assistance, financial assistance is one of them. NRCS and conservation districts have worked directly with farmers. We need to grow that scale. We've got to engage the entire ag value chain to make that process easier. I think we have come to a place where NRCS and conservation districts can't do it alone. So that if consumers, if they would like to continue to have clean air and clean water, we need to make sure that the farmers have the tools that they need to make that possible. And supporting that effort, it's a public and private benefit. And I think that's where the times we're in now is perfect to help uplift those public-private partnerships that NRCS, USDA has really supported over the years. And one of the things that we want to continue to push for is innovative finance options.
I listened to Senator Marshall and I listened to Secretary Kennedy, and they use words like sustainability and regenerative agriculture and healthy soil. Those are words that they use commonly. The question is how we get there. And in that, there appears to be an opportunity for education, for collaboration. And if these are truly goals, then how we accomplish those goals through the hands of stewards in so many different climates and soil types across the country.
I still think it's wonderful that we have so much support for healthy soil. I haven't heard this much support for healthy soil in maybe my career. So I think it's great that we have something that we can agree on. We need to have healthy soil to have healthy food system. Where I think we get tripped up sometimes is when there's prescriptions for how that healthy soil needs to be developed and maintained. And that's where we've got to take a step back and just think about the principles of a healthy soil, the principles of Regen Ag, the principles of sustainability, and talk with farmers, get their perspective on what their system looks like. Because for every action, there's a reaction, there's unintended consequences, and we need to make sure that we've got that whole toolbox available to make and keep the soil's healthy.
What's the challenge for you, for other farmers who want to make these transitions, who want to do that, but the economics just don't add up?
Oftentimes, and this year, this time is no different, the economics in the short run could prevent a farm from being around in the long run. So if we can't help look at the financial solutions in this short run, the farm isn't going to be around for long term. Sustainable agriculture in many ways is profitable agriculture. And so we've got to look at how we can help finance some of this transition. And that isn't going to come just from cost share from the federal government. It's going to take the entire ag value chain coming together, looking at where they can build margin for each link in that chain and create the programs short-term and long-term to help finance this transition to even more sustainable agriculture.
Do you feel like you're taking on the world?
It's exciting, isn't it? So agriculture is one of those things, like if you've ever planted a garden or flowers or a farm field, it's so exciting to see the crop grow, to see the harvest at the end. And when you look at what's happening over time, we in the United States have the most efficient system of food production in the world. We have a sustainable food system. We've got a lot of great things happening. And we can get better. That's the beauty of agriculture, of the whole value chain. There's always this continual improvement mentality, which is fantastic. And I think that's what gives me hope. Is we have at Field to Market, we've got our 200 members that want to see that continual improvement, and there's so much support for that. And that's what's exciting. Yeah, we've made a lot of progress over the last 50 years. I'm excited about the next 50.
Then you also watch the events that are taking place in the U.S. and around the globe where weather is becoming more extreme. There's also an urgency to see the regenerative practices employed on more acres in the country.
That's right. When you think about building the healthy soil, that can help with resiliency in the farm fields, with drought resistance, with water infiltration, et cetera. We do have climate weather issues, and farmers are paying attention to that every day because agriculture is it's an outside sport, as my husband puts it. It's not something that you can do without Mother Nature. And so when there's floods, when there's drought, windstorms, tornadoes, hurricanes, that's all impacting farmers, and it's a risky business. So that's one of the reasons why I think it's important to think about the innovation and helping the whole value chain work better together.
Well, Carrie Vollmer-Sanders, we want to thank you very much for your work over the years with Field to Market, and we wish you and your membership much success in solving the definitions of sustainability and regenerative agriculture and bringing us healthy soil so that there is plenty of food and fiber to go around and care for our country and for the hungry around the world. Thanks for being here. It is open mic, Carrie, and today you've got the last word.
Thanks so much, Jeff. I just want to leave you with a few things. Field to Market was built to build trust in the ag value chain. We do that by convening the value chain, creating tools like the Fieldprint platform to measure sustainability and regenerative agriculture, and deliver programs and resources to help our members make progress towards their goals. We've got some exciting things happening in the next year. We've got a leadership program focused on innovative finance. We have a Fieldprint platform version 5 being launched. We've got regenerative ag guidance that is now shared with the world. And we're going to have our 20-year anniversary coming up. So we're excited about where 2025 has been, where it's going, and in the next couple of years. This fall, if you're not familiar with Field to Market, we have one of the largest sustainability conferences in the country focused on agriculture. It's in Anaheim, California, November 19th and 20th. We would love to have you be there. We co-host this with the Innovation Center for U.S. Dairy. And last but certainly not least, I just want to leave you with the fact that everything we do at Field to Market is focused on the end goal of improving farmer livelihoods and building resilient ecosystems by innovating and making the ag value chain stronger. And we're excited for growing that membership and continuing to serve U.S. agriculture for the next 20 years. Thank you, Jeff, for your time today.
Our thanks to Carrie Vollmer Sanders, president of Field to Market, our guest this week on Open Mic. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by the American Sugar Alliance. America's sweetest industry creates jobs and provides a sustainably produced food ingredient. Learn more at sugaralliance.org. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Nellie.